Oh, okay. Oh, we got an hour. All right. Your preacher is an honest man. And everybody's like, yeah, yeah. Some of you guys have been here early. Some of you guys have been here early, and you guys are doing a fine job. And I got a nap, so you're in trouble. You're in trouble, and I was fed well. If you want a preacher to quit preaching and not take forever, don't feed them before they preach and keep them tired. I guarantee you they will not preach long. But anyways, you didn't do that because you're kind Christians and you fed us and we got a little nap. So I'm like, woo, I'm like awake. So you're in big trouble. John chapter number 6. This is not anything new. It's not anything wow. You know, sometimes the truths of God's word are not that way. They're not like, wow, that was so amazing. Now, there's some things, you know, as maybe you're a new Christian and you're going through the Christianity, you've never heard of it before because simply you're new. You've never heard that truth preached, or you're just so new. But some of us that have been here for a long time, we've heard a lot of stuff. Not saying that we have known everything. It's not saying that we have appertained. We just all of a sudden know the Bible now. We don't need to hear preaching. But sometimes the Bible and the truths of the Bible, because it is a living word, it's alive. It knows what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And sometimes we miss that. We miss that. Now, let me give you some example of what I'm saying. When I was a young man, Ephesians chapter number 5 did not mean a whole lot to me. Loving your wives. Great. I don't have one. It just doesn't apply in the way that it does today. Because I'm married. Now, just a simple extension. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That doesn't apply to me so much now. In a sense of, I'm now the mom. I'm not the mom. Whoa! I'm checking to see you're awake. You're awake. I'm the dad now. I'm the parent. That verse meant something else when I was the child. I was on the child side. If it was a coin, I was on the one side of the coin. Now I'm on the other side of the coin. I have a responsibility. Now I'm the dad. Now I say, that's a good verse. Children, obey your parents. Before, it wasn't a good verse. It wasn't a good verse. I don't want to obey. But you see, the truth of Scripture does not change. The truth remains the same. The problem is you and I change. And when we change, always go to the Scripture to make sure you have not changed. Now, some of the application might differ, depend on the age and where you are in life. But the Bible, don't let the world tell you any other way, the Bible is so relevant. You don't even understand how relevant this book is in your day-to-day living. Oh, yeah, in the 21st century, yeah, on your iPad, on your iTouch, or whatever, iPhone X, what in the world is going on with Macs? Or Apple, what in the world? They came up with two phones. You know, people are totally confused about that? Totally confused. They think it's the same. iPhone 8 and iPhone X are not the same phone. Did you know that people pre-order the iPhone 8? And now they want to send it back before they even have it because they want iPhone X. They made a big doo-doo there. Not as bad as Samsung. They were blowing things up with their phone. They really got messed up. And some of you don't even, like, what is all of that? Good. You're in that thing that still goes like this. Ring, ring, right? Yeah, you're in a good place. You're actually in a good place. To you, you still wonder how you can talk and carry the phone and walk everywhere in your house, you know? Wow, this is amazing. You're not stuck on a cord, you know? So you're fine. Don't worry about us, young people. We have other problems to have to deal with, but the truth of Scripture does not change. Amen. But it is alive. And thus, it applies to people that are living. It's for us that are alive. This Bible does not help anybody that's in the grave. It's too late by that point. But sometimes we're dead to it because we are thinking of other things. And when the Bible, you look at it and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not getting anything out of it because you're not in it. You're reading it, absolutely. You're reading it. But has anybody ever talked to you before and you're not in the conversation? Has that ever happened to you? That was happening to me a lot on furlough. I didn't realize how much we talked. And I'm looking at somebody, I'm like, I'm thinking something else. And he just, and I'm so glad they never asked me what they were talking about. And literally, I'm catching myself thinking about something else. As a missionary, you get a lot of people, because you've been gone for so long. How you been? And then another person starts, blah, 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 blah. And then the third person starts, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. And I'm not doing that to you later, okay? He said, that's what he does that. He's going to do that to us. No, I'm not doing that. It's just sometimes you zone out. Guys, we do a lot of that with this book. We totally zone out of the book. And it's there. It's absolutely there. And then sometimes when a preacher comes up and gives you the truth that has always been the same, there's nothing new. Ecclesiastes talks about under the sun, the truth of God. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. What he said about love is the same thing he means about love today. The principle of love, the principle of peace. All of those are the same. And sometimes you're just dozing, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's like hits you. Wow, praise the Lord. You need some of those experiences. And some of them are convicting times. They're not like, wow. A lot of them are like, ow. Oh. I didn't realize that. But that's true with the Bible. And if you look at the Bible and look at your life, use it that way. Look at your life and look at the Bible. Be honest with yourself. Amen. How are you living your life? Sometimes we get lost in the mundane. Some of you probably don't even see the tree I'm going to talk about, which you got a whole row of them here. Have you ever had a visitor come and talk to you about your area and you have no clue what they were talking about? Because you get so busy, you don't see anything around you. You get stuck in what they call the day in, day out, the cares of this world. And when you do that, that affects your Bible. You miss a lot of the truths that's already right there for us. And I'm not saying this to tell you that I get everything. I don't. I'm saying that about myself. And we have to prayerfully, I love it when you guys, before you go anywhere in your services, you pray. That's not, don't get that in a habitual pattern. We're just going to pray. We'll always pray. There's a reason. There's absolutely a reason. Well, we sing. There's so much songs they sing. Why? There's a reason for all of that. Don't miss anything. Some of you, when you look at your hymn books and somebody comes up here and expound on the words, who wrote the hymn and all those things, and you're like, wow, I never. And how many times have you read that hymn or even sang it? We do that a lot with the Bible. If we're honest to ourselves, we do that with the Bible. And a lot of times, the Bible says even, I say it again. Like I said before, I mean, that's why I feel like sometimes preaching is so foolish. It's foolishness. Because it's saying the same thing over and over and over. It's not that the Word of God is foolish, it's that the people don't get it. And it takes us, because we're dull at hearing, and we're hard-headed, stiff-necked, stubborn. I love the submission message. Man, if we look at society today, guys, we have issue with just the thought of authority. There's a message I preach across as we have traveled because it's been, you know, we've been out of the country for 4 or 5 years. You come into the country. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference 5 years ago. And to you, well, because you have lived it. You don't see the graph, the contrast, but we have. We see the contrast. And when you see the contrast, it's sad. It's very sad. Because we're not going towards the Lord, we're going away from the Lord. So I want to give you all of that, just a simple thought in verse number 5. The perspective. And a lot of times we see our world through our own eyes, and we don't see it any other way. We become self-absorbed. Guys, did you not hear what happened this morning at a church down south of us? Just for a minute, and I did this afternoon, just thought about the ramification. I just came up with some thoughts. There's 50 people in this room. There might be that here or more tonight. Imagine somebody, and I know you guys have it all protected and all that, which is very smart and wise. But that could have been us. Now, that just brings a little closer to us. Okay? And then think about this. What happened? Now, it's sad if an entire family was gone. But it actually probably may be even better that way. And I'm saying this very cautiously, guys. I'm not saying this crass. I don't want to come across that way. I'm being very careful. But it happens. I was thinking about this. What happened if the mom, part of family made it and part of family did not make it? How are you going to reconcile that in your mind? How are you going to sit down tonight and look at the ones that made it and say God was on, God met with us today? That's not one of those times you're going to say, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. And sometimes we're so apathetic and so self-absorbed, that doesn't even bother us. It doesn't even touch our hearts. It doesn't even touch us. And I'm not trying to say that to make you feel like ooey-gooey. I'm just saying we're so out of touch with other people. We're so out of touch. It didn't happen to me. And tonight we're going to go on, and I'm going to go on and enjoy fellowship, and I'm going to enjoy other things, and I'm going to forget about these people. It's just us. Just how wicked we are and how selfish we become. But I want to give you a thought tonight, maybe to cause you to remember that when you look at a circumstance, when you look at a situation, may you ask God how He views it and not how you view it. Amen. May you get out of yourself just a little bit. It would be mighty different if that church was us tonight. The way we would talk about it, the way we would move about, the way we would feel for somebody we don't like at this church, it would change. If that was us. But here's the thought I want to give you. If you're able to stand in verse number 5 of chapter number 6 of the book of John, if you're able to, you know you've been there for a little bit. I'm going to be quick, I promise you. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, John 6 in verse number 5, out of respect of God's word, if you're bodily able to stand, John chapter number 6 in verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saying unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I want to cause a thought to give to you that there's two men that answered that question in this passage. Two men answered the question with two different perspectives, two different ways of looking at it. And God blessed the one, and the other one, he did not. Let's pray. We thank you so much tonight. We thank you for the safety you provided for us. We do continue to pray with that dear church down south. I know they were maybe of a different sort than us, but Lord, they preached the gospel. They were concerned about worshiping you this morning. And I don't know the situation, Lord, of the hearts of your children there. Some of them might be totally in shock and don't understand why. But please be upon them. We're so far our hearts, Lord, but we do want to genuinely ask you, and we already have. We want to pray for them. Lord, help us to cause us, as your sons and daughters, to look at the world from your eyes and not just do it, but Lord, mean it and believe it and act upon it. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we know the story is the feeding of the 5,000. We see the story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is recorded for us, and I believe in the book of Matthew, it refers to us that there was also women and children. So I'm going to give you that as a basis. And look at the thought. In verse number 10, it says, so the man sat down in number about 5,000. So it wasn't an exact number, but if people were counting, and for the sake of the story, there's about 5,000 men. Plus, in another part, I believe Matthew says it, there's women and children. Now, let's just guesstimate, there could be upwards number of people here would be about 15,000 people, if we say it that way. And I don't know in the custom, I'm not well studied enough in the custom of how many children that they might have in a certain family. You know, in some cultures, families would be big. Now, in the Philippines, at one point, they were huge. Now, that's not happening anymore because of mentality of, and I think it's sweeping across the world, that people want to enjoy their own life. And I'm not going to say anything, okay? I'm not saying because you don't have children, that's how you feel about it. I'm just saying there is an idea that children are a nuisance. Children are a bother. God says they're a heritage. I don't know if you don't understand what that means. That means it's from the Lord. It's a gift of God. It's an arrow in your quiver. It's a weapon against the devil. That's what God thinks of children. Children says, forbid them not. Let them come to me. And so I don't know how you view children, but I love my children. Did they get annoying? Absolutely. Do I wish sometimes they were not around? They're around, so I can't say it too loud. Do I wish sometimes I can have an adult conversation with my wife? Absolutely. But God gave them to me. And they're a blessing. You know, they have taught me some things about myself. Children are a good way to show you who you are. They just humble you. Like, man, that's me. That's me. And God uses them to convict me. More than any preacher I know sometimes. They tell you exactly how they see it. They don't sugarcoat it. Boom! Ouch! Oh, man. Shh! Don't embarrass me. But the thought is, you see here, God used children in this story. You'll find that God uses children. So there could be upwards of 15, 20,000 people. The disciples were asked, or actually one specifically. Now, if you know Philip a little bit, it seems to me that Philip is one of those guys that has everything, seems to plan out and everything's in order. He might have OCD. I don't know. I might have OCD in certain things. But God asked him an interesting question. And the question was not asked because God did not know the answer. God is not going like this, like, oh, what am I going to do? I never thought that was going to happen. No, God does not. God knows what's going on. He's sovereign. And so he did not ask Philip because he was clueless. Praise the Lord. Look at the verse on verse number 6 there. And this is said to prove him, for he himself, praise the Lord, he knew what he would do. By the way, in all circumstance of life, in your situation right now, in the job that you don't have, that you wish you had, in the family that is in shambles, and your children are doing right, and a child that's a prodigal, all of these things, God knows your situation. Amen. In your sickness, God knows. Absolutely, he knows. That's what he's trying to say here to Philip. But he didn't say it to Philip. Because verse 6 is for us to learn. Because what really happened is when he asked the question, verse 7 came right away, not verse 6. Verse 6 is for us, the reader, to clarify some thoughts. To show to us that God might do this to you or I. He might put us in a situation and then ask us what we would do. And this is what Philip answered. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. He used the phrase, not sufficient. He said, they may even just have a little. That's the terminology, that's the words he used. Now let me ask you a question. God did not, who saw the need? Did Philip see the need? God saw the need. We love God because he first loved us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, which was us. And so in the story here, God sees the people from a different perspective than Philip sees them. And so God was trying to cause Philip to see it the way he did. And he asked them. The context is physical food. But can we not stretch the thought, and I'm not stretching it when I say this. when Jesus ministered to the people, he was not just concerned about their physical condition. He was about his Father's business at 12 years of age. I believe when he saw the people's need, not only was he looking at them from a physical standpoint that they're starving, I think he's also thinking that these people need me, need my salvation. And this is it to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered, and 200 penny worth of bread, 200 that number, and you want to study it, I didn't get the chance to do it, but somebody has told me that that idea could be a wage of a man, partly of a year or a year wage. That's how much money Philip came to the conclusion you would need to meet the need that God saw. I'm so glad because God sees the need. Okay, don't ever forget, God sees your need. Not only that, number two, he knows what to do. Okay, don't ever lose that in your Christianity. Because you're going to be like Job. What is happening? Behold, I go forward. Job 8. And behold, I go forward. Backwards, to the right, to the left. I can't see God. But he did say something cool. But when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He's trying to say is God knows. He sees your need and he knows. So don't ever forget that in a circumstance. Now here's the thought. Philip derived the answer solely from himself. He did not get the answer to the question from God. He did not pray for wisdom. He simply uttered with his mouth what he thought the answer would be. A lot of times in our Christianity, guys, we operate exactly the same way. We operate via our flesh. We serve God via our knowledge. The way we think, the way we have planned it, the way we have put it on paper. And God sometimes throws it all away. Because when you do it that way, you get the glory. When you do it that way, you seem to be the man. And pride rises up. And God is not interested in that. God says that he made us to give him pleasure. And the Bible talks about he deserves glory. But here's the thought. Here's the thought. So Philip answered the question and tried to meet the need that Jesus asked via his own intelligence, his own wisdom, earthly wisdom, his own perspective. If you would have asked Philip, his opinion would have been, we read it. Now, a lot of times in your situation, let's make it a little personal. Let's bring it down to us. Does that not happen to us? When we need a job, do we not look at the circumstance and say, let me look at it from my perspective? And a lot of times we miss what God sees. Guys, I did not want those four missionary family to leave. I'm just be flat out honest with you. I didn't want them to leave. That was not my plan. If you would have asked me, that's not what I thought should have happened. But that's what happened. Here's another man. I'm really quickly running here. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saying unto him, there is a lad here which had five barley loaves and two small fishes, and he questioned his solution. Look at this. He doubted even why he said this. He said, but what are they among so many? Here's another man. I don't know if the conversation Philip and Jesus had was like one of just a personal conversation. It seems to me not, because Andrew said something. He wasn't being talked to, but he said something. Something, I don't know, he's dropping something. And Andrew answered and said, God, I have an idea. With the same question you asked on verse 5, verse 8, verse 9, he answered. Andrew, in a totally different perspective, totally different, and almost ridiculous. There's 20,000 people. Now put yourself in a situation. Would you be Andrew? I definitely did not want to be Philip. That is a hard question. It's like saying to you, hey, we have a $20,000 bill. What are you going to do about it? It's kind of like that. And Philip, is this a trick question? And then Andrew pipes in and says, well, we got a couple of dollars in the bank. That was the situation, guys. Look at the situation. There's about 20,000 people, give or take, less. Yet, if there's only 5,000 people, he said to Jesus, I have a little boy with five bread. The Bible does not make errors. Five bread and two fishes. That was his suggestion. If I was Jesus and I'm just a mere man, I would have said, you idiot, what in the world are you thinking? Do you not know how many people over there are? And you're going to bring to me five bread and two fishes? What are you smoking, man? That's idiotic. Most of us would not have come up with that thought. But here's St. Andrew. And look at the thought. In verse number 10, Jesus didn't say what I said. Jesus said, all right, make the man sit down. What? Do you not understand the impossibility of this situation? Even if they had the 100 penny worth, even if that was enough to buy bread, where's Walmart? Where's the Pizza Hut? Who's going to deliver all that food? Man, where's Long John's? Or not Long John's, that's what you're going to wear later. But Long John Silver. There it is. Tell you some words can make a difference to what you're saying. Where's all this? Do you not, I can't wrap my mind around it. But here's the thought. And Jesus acted on the one man's perspective. And there was much grass in the place, verse 10, so that the man sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise to the fishes. Here's a phrase that was not there when Philip was saying it. He said, not sufficient, maybe a little. Here's the first time you see as much as they would. Verse 12, when they were filled, they had more than enough to meet the need, and it was sufficient to meet the need, and there's more. And he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. I wonder if there was a coals there, and they ordered the baskets. And filled 12 baskets. They didn't have no baskets. I don't know where that came from. And filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves. God did not make a mistake to repeat to you where this miracle came from five barley loaves. He did not make a mistake. And that was on purpose for you to realize what he used. Five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. What was the difference between Philip and Andrew? What was the main difference? One did not include God in the solution. Simple, guys. The one did not include God in the solution. He did not put God in the equation. The one did. By saying, I have no clue, God, but I have a boy here, and I'm going to bring him to you. Now, God, it's your problem. How are you going to feed all these people? That's what Andrew did. And that took simple faith, a faith that he even doubted. He doubted, but what are they? What are these among so many? He said that. You know, sometimes the perspective that you and I have problems is when we don't include God in the situation. We don't put him in the equation. And the way you put God in the equation in every circumstance, in every decision, in everything in your life is simply by faith. Did not he say what he says he said? Did he not mean it? Does he lie? Is his promises yea and amen or not? What is it, guys? What is it? Is God really says what he says he is? Did he say to Moses, I am that I am? Moses asked, what am I going to tell these people? By whose authority? Basically, he's saying, I'm going to tell the Egyptian, the Pharaoh, to say, hey, by the way, Pharaoh, get all those slaves out of here. If he asks me, by what authority? And God says, just tell him, I am that I am. I'm the authority. I'm the sufficient. I'm the supplier. I'm the provider. I'm the protector. I'm everything you ever need. But the problem in our equation in our life, in our giving, in our soul winning, in our witness, in our testimony, in our Bible reading, in our marriage, in our child rearing, in our relationship with brothers and sisters, we don't put God in the equation. We do that in salvation, praise the Lord, because you can't get saved without realizing only God can save you. And you did that by faith. For by grace are we saved through faith. In simple faith, was it perfect faith? When you got saved, did you have perfect faith? You're joking if you say you do, because I don't. I did not have perfect faith. But I saw something I've never seen before. I saw God revealed to me in a way I've never heard him been revealed to me as a 12-year-old boy. I came from the Philippines, coming to the U.S., and a man that spoke my dialect sat me on a Virginia Beach apartment on October 23rd, 1997, and showed me from the Bible. It was my sin that was going to take me to a place called hell, but Jesus can take it all away. Amen. And by faith, I've never seen it all applied in that way. I accepted Jesus Christ, and by my testimony, my friends, and even if I lose my mind today, I lose my faculties, I know I'm saved. Amen. Because I simply put my faith in what Jesus said. We do that in salvation, then we forget about it in Christian living. Do you know that you can't please God without faith? It is impossible to please him. So why? The verses that we read this morning, it says there, you think that you began this relationship by the Spirit and then you shall perfect yourself by the flesh? A lot of times we revert back to our fleshly wisdom when it comes to the different realms of Christian living. I'm going to rear my children by my wisdom. Well, let's see what the TV says. Oh, that book is good. Oh, wow, that's cool too. Well, I like what they did. They never disciplined their kids, but their kids turned out nice. Wow, I'll do all of that. And the Bible is totally thrown out. Yeah. What am I telling you? You're doing it without God in the equation. You're answering the problem like Philip did. Guys, it's so simple. But yet, it does the impossible. You know what happened there? The impossible. With men, this is impossible. I can't raise my children, guys. I can't have a good marriage. But I can bring it to the one that knows. Amen. Knows me so intimate. Knows the numbers of my hair. Knows me so much. Son, give it to me. I'll help you. And all with the thought of submitting that he's right and I'm wrong. And faith in action, which is obedience. How do you do this every day? How do you put your faith in a God you can't see? Well, he gave us a word you can see. Won't you believe it? And then obedience. What's obedience? It's just having faith that this is what it says it is, and it's true, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It says this is what you should do with your children. Okay, I'm going to do it. It says this is what I should do as a woman. I'm going to do it. This is what it says to be a man. I'm going to do it. Oh, it talks about being a witness. It's all here. The principles are here. Oh, I'm going to do it. Oh, I need to go to church. Okay, I'm going to do it. All by faith and obedience. And then you see things done in your life. You look back and say, well, how did that ever happen? Because God was working. Amen. And not yourself. Don't get stuck living a Christian life miserable because you're making New Year's resolutions instead of being transformed. Let God just totally, totally live his life in your life. Let your life be hid in Christ and that people may see him. Lord, we pray that you bless. We've been here a little while. Thank you for the patience of your people. Thank you for their presence. Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, Pastor.